Sidsel Manneke Hansen is a Danish artist who is interested in how things are made, both through the lens of the industrial complex and through craft. Her work looks at the way objects are gendered and how large-scale global industries, like the porn industry or the pharmaceutical industry, are changing ideas of what it means to be human. In Grumpy, her commission for our digital platform channel, Sidsel created a computer-animated version of the anatomical Venus, a wax model of a dissected woman depicted clad in pearls, which was used to teach medical students anatomy in the 18th century. In the film, the head of the model hangs backwards, singing softly as we pan up over her splayed open torso, revealing only the reproductive organs and a smiling fetus. To make the digital work, Sidsel sourced real-life human sex organs from a cadaver before working on the animation. In this special version of the process, Sidsel talks to director of Somerset House Studios, Marie McPartlin, about her experience in the operating theatre, the questions it brought up about the role of the artist, the object-subject relationship, and what it was like to make the work while pregnant with her first child.
So Sidsel, I first encountered your work, I think it must have been maybe sort of eight years ago, via an artist who was here at the studios at the time called James Stringer, who is a regular collaborator of yours. And he was rendering a sort of a 3D model on his computer of one of your works, which I think was Dick Girl 3DX, which was for the Gasworks show. I remember thinking how incredible that was. I'd never seen anything quite like that. So was really excited to see what you would make for us for the channel platform. And before we kind of get into that, could you tell us a bit about where the idea first came from?
I guess that there's like a couple of things that underpin the piece. One is Grumpy, because it's like related to Snow White, but it's less about the fairy tale and maybe more about like an archetype of a personality or like a mood. And then there is the figure of the anatomical Venus and what this figure represents historically, but maybe also like the craft invested in making it. So like ceraplastics. So sometimes things come sideways through research into specific concepts or like specific figures like a sex robot or Eva 3.0 that was like part of 3D adult entertainment, I suppose. And other times like it's really about like the craft or like trying to understand like how something is made. So as I encountered the anatomical Venus in a display in Milan, and I just wanted to try to see if I could somehow reinvent the means for making it.
It's really interesting to hear you get into some of the backgrounds of the process, because I guess when you experience the work Grumpy, what you see is a digital artifact, a digital work. But of course, I think what a lot of audiences who come to that might not see is the process that's gone on to create that digital work, which is based on a wax model that's been made of actually a real organ. How complicated was that to do in practice?
It was quite specific to how this medical artist was working previously. So she had specialized in creating wax casts of different body parts. And when I approached her, I knew that I was interested to produce a version of the anatomical Venus. And what was specific to the anatomical Venus was the display of the sexual and reproductive organs. And so in the original anatomical Venus sculpture, the sexual organs are in the context of a full body. But I decided to strip it down to like only the sexual and reproductive organs. And so when I approached her, she proposed that we would try to explore this possibility of working from actual organs. So an organ from a person who had decided to donate their body to medical research.
Can you talk us through that process?
Yes. When I researched the anatomical Venus, I was put in touch with this network of people who could facilitate this more traditional way of making a wax model. And so the process was one of applying through an ethical board, and the dissection itself took place at Antwerp University Hospital, where a group of students and an anatomist was working with 6 donated bodies. And so the medical artist was working inside the space as well to kind of like create these casts. So the ethical board had like a really hard time relating to the sculptural aspects of the piece. But the documentary was a more critical point, because the ethics around this is very much one of like protecting the identity of the person who donated their body to medical science. And so the internal organs, once we remove them from the body, become anonymized, because I wouldn't recognize my kidney if I saw it lying next to your kidney. But there is like obviously a lot of concern and a lot of respect around the handling of the deceased, but also there is a craft involved in like the dissection and also like the deconstruction of a human body when you start to kind of like go down on kind of like an organ level.
So that meant you got to be in a dissecting room with an anatomist. What was that experience like?
It was a quite strange experience to encounter a deceased person in this context, and a large part of the conversation with the anatomist was also about this distinction between a medical specimen and the body of the deceased, because when you encounter a dead person as a lay person, then those are the references that you have like to a family member or like someone who is like familiar to you. So when I entered the space, like I was expecting to see something that I would recognize, but it was a very kind of like abstract body, in the sense that the body had been fixated. And so the flesh was quite yellow, and the smell in the space was very overwhelming in terms of it being very unknown. It was quite strange, but it was somehow normalized by the presence of the medical students, because there was a whole group of medical students who were practicing anatomy together with their teacher. And so the radio was on. There was kind of like a social kind of situation where people were chatting. It was like quite relaxed all of a sudden. It was a quite weird registration of like a person and then an object, like a dead object. And so the interviews with the anatomist, for instance, it's very much about like how he sees this as a kind of like a total destruction of the human body in favor of understanding it. And so there was something very interesting about that. And also like how brutal it looks, but how his approach to his craft, at least, was very empathetic towards understanding what the person would have experienced of pain or whatever else during their lifetime. So pathologies became like things that he could recognize and also like be empathetic towards, which was quite interesting. So it was also an experience of like trying to understand like how it's maybe not too dissimilar from like an artistic practice. And I think that there's something that resonates also with the grumpy art piece, because it is the body is like left open, but she's singing. And so this like flipping between object subject is very much part of both the documentary, the sculpture, and the grumpy art piece.
Sunny.
Yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunny, you smiled at me and really eased the pain. The dark days are gone and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny, one so true, I love you.
The use of music and sound on the pieces is one of my favourite things, I think. which frequently uses your own voice and sort of snippets from really like ubiquitous sort of pop tunes like Sunny by Bobby Hebb and slightly more obscure pop tunes. Like I think there's a bit of Michelle Gale in there.
In my weakness, your sweetness is my weakness.
Often using your voice in it, it makes the piece feel maybe unexpectedly irreverent and playful, given what you're viewing. Would you say that humour is part of the intention in the work?
Yeah, I think that it's... I always like really enjoyed like a quite dark sense of humour. And also like a mantra of like gallows humour is like a term in English, is it?
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
There is also some sort of... there's a specific absurdity to the situation, which to me is humorous or quite funny. But in my voice, I also think that there is like a sense of I'm laughing like when I'm singing Sunny, but I definitely also mean it. And so it's extremely sincere and then also quite absurd in some sense.
Staying with that theme of humor, you mentioned your more sort of documentary-type collaborations with Therese. The work which springs to mind for me with that is Maintenance, which you and Therese did together, which is a film in a brothel with showing the sort of very intimate scenes, I suppose, of someone cleaning a rubber sex doll. Sex dolls, I think, can be quite humourful also in British humour. And you've also mentioned in previous works working with sex robots. Do you see a through line between sex dolls and sex robots and the anatomical wax model?
Yeah, I mean, in some sense, maybe it's just how they're approached, but like there is something about how the figure of the sex robot or the fantasy of like automated sex work is very much a projection onto an inert or kind of like a static object. And what animates it is possibly kind of like desire to what is dead or what is like an object. And so it's something that I've been looking at for a while. For me, it's also like possibly also like a reflection of my own sexuality. So it's not clear cut. It's not something that sits neatly in the category of only being a critique of porn or the abject or morbid things. It's also something that is like very much part of a kind of like an interest in a very specific way of producing a more visceral reaction in oneself, but maybe also like the viewer.
Do you think Grumpy is in some ways challenging our understanding of digital intimacy?
I really wouldn't know, because I guess it's like it represents one thing for me, and I guess that it's like I'm starting to understand like how people respond to the Grumpy artwork. But for me, it's a very intimate space because it's my voice and also because it's kind of linked to my own private emotional life, and that there's parts of that that I'm unable or unwilling to like disclose. I forgot like who speculated on the notion of like Grumpy as an incel. I guess it brings around certain fantasies for certain people around whether it's Grumpy who slashed open like this body or this character, or whether the voice embodied by the character somehow is like Grumpy. And so I like that there's these like shifts between different positions or like different interpretations of the piece. And so it operates in a certain way for me. And it's quite interesting to hear like also how people react to that clash between a very lo-fi recording of my voice singing and then a CGI production and then these like very specific traditional ways in which like the physical organs have been cast from a deceased person. So there's all these different layers or like things that sit next to each other.
You know, it's interesting that you say you're only just starting to understand how people are reacting to it. Have any of those reactions been surprising to you?
I've been in the baby bubble, so I haven't like fully engaged with like people's reaction, but I'm always like curious to hear it. So it's mainly just that I've heard from different people who are quite close to me, like their reaction to it. And some find it beautiful, which I find like really quite strange, because I guess there's always been like this, I remember there was like this journalist from Wall Street Journal who was like very critical of my work, because he was like saying like, that it wasn't beautiful, it was like grotesque and disgusting, and it was like pornographic and all these things, and so that was like maybe the most surprising thing, that someone would find it beautiful in some sense.
I think I did find it beautiful as well in my experience. I think that it was interesting, the choice of aspect ratio, and also to make it very short and intense. And whenever I've encouraged people to watch it, I've always encouraged them to watch it on mobile, because there's something quite real like about it. Like, I don't know, like when you open something on your phone on the bus unexpectedly and you've accidentally looked at something you shouldn't, it kind of, I don't know, my response to it was initially to feel like I was a voyeur on something I shouldn't be seeing, but then to sort of relax into the humour of it and the sort of character of the fetus. There is something quite beautiful and intimate about it as well. I think I ran a whole sort of gamut of feelings with that work. And it is, you know, it is super short. It's a really sort of intense experience for the audience.
Yeah, I kind of like this idea that it would be like a mini operating theatre in its own right, so that when the sweetness song is playing, the light kind of like shifts and or it comes on, and then there is like a light on the sexual and reproductive organs, and then like at a later point it cuts to the fetus, and the fetus is like, its head is dangling a little bit, but it's got like this mellow smile that I really like. And then there are like more intense close-ups on the lips, but like with the head upside down, so that it changes the focus of what you're looking at.
I guess around about the time we first started talking about you making this work, you probably were discovering that you yourself were also pregnant. What was it like making a work like this with your body going through those changes?
My experience of pregnancy was that there was something going on inside my body that I was like less familiar with. And it seems like a very kind of like morbid route to then seek out an anatomist and witness a dissection. But there is something where the anatomical Venus was an educational model for like the general public to understand human anatomy. And it became kind of like a medium that to some extent replaced life dissection, because it was like a more fixed material. Like wax can last for like several hundred years, I think, if it's like kept properly. And so there was something about kind of like trying to understand like what was happening through a scientific or kind of like a medical model. And I think that to some extent, it's not because like that actually grants you a lot of information about what's going on internally, but it is a very kind of like objective gaze at like the female body, or kind of like thinking about it in terms of like functionality. And my experience of like childbirth has definitely been that like the medical professions check up on you until the kid has left your body. And then afterwards, like it's basically just you've done your bit, and then it's like complications after birth is like something that you kind of like have to deal with yourself. But I think that typically when I produce work, there is like this divide between a kind of like intellectual mode of like reflection and then something that is like more personal or like physical to some extent.
Go embrace, let go, embrace, never let go, embrace, let go, embrace, embrace.
Thanks to Sitsil Menaker Hansen and Marie McPartlin. You might have heard the little baby sounds of Lily there, Sitzel's daughter, who was also joining us on the call. Very cute. This was a special version of the Process podcast, conducted by the director of Somerset House Studios, Marie McPartlin, produced by Alana Chance and Tess Davidson, and presented by me, Laurent John.